He's not as smart as David Iverson. He's not nearly as distinguished as Ken Pendergraft, and he's way shorter than Tom Kelly. But every family needs a black sheep with special skills and abilities. Are you ready to just blame Joey?
And happy Tuesday out there in internet radio land. It is time for Just Blame Joey Live. Let's go get that cup of coffee filled up. Grab that comfy seat and strap in. Got an hour of listener requests and responses here on Just Blame Joey Live. Doing a little grease day today here in the studio. So get ready. Here we go.
After an exclusive two-decade tour of Europe, Asia, the Pacific, the Middle East, and all stops in between, realizing Wyoming is the only America that America has left, he's finally back for good. Now, ladies and gentlemen, it is the distinct pleasure of 1776 Audio Foundry Management to present to you your host, recently profiled on the lifestyles of the prolific and gifted. He's an overnight success that has been years in the making. He's your very own Saratoga Sledgehammer. Here is Jailbird Joey.
Well, hello and thank you for engaging once again in another opportunity to get your fill of cantankerous commentary and political entertainment all backed up with actual facts and data. Coming to you from the Cathedral of Accountability in a well-secured bunker deep beneath the 1776 Audio Foundry Studios, this is the home of liberty-minded constitutional conservatism. I am your host, the Saratoga Sledgehammer, Mr. Misdemeanor himself, Jailbird Joey, and it is time to just blame Joey. Good day to you, all you biological boys and girls, and if you identify as anything else, this show is most likely not going to be your cup of tea, but we're going to get started anyway, and you're more than welcome to stick around and give it a listen. And I wish you the best of luck with those feelings as you just blame Joey. So with that, let's stir this pot.
And I hope you got your big wooden spoons today, because it is that time again. Welcome back to another epic installment of Just Blame Joey Live. Jailbird Joey back in the studios for some more one-on-one time with you this morning on the Independence Network. It is 11 a.m. on Tuesday, April 9th. And we're heading off to Rydell High this morning because it's Grease Day on Just Blame Joey Live, as requested by listener Anthony Hudson of Rollins. So thank you for that request, Anthony. Happy to take care of that for you. Spring is springing. The sun is shining here at the 1776 Audio Foundry Studios, where we always try to honor listener requests and make something happen with them. So we'll be doing some greasy tunes from that cult classic soundtrack here today, while you're getting your fill of cantankerous commentary with all that political, social, and civic entertainment, backed up by facts and data, as is the standard here across the Independence Network. And as always, I invite you to come and sit with the warriors at the Independence Network, where the conversation is different. Speaking of sitting with warriors and having different conversations, David Iverson, of course, was live from the Northern Command studio this morning on the Independence Network. Had another great edition of the morning show with the illustrious from high above a little earlier. And then we had that episode you just heard of Cowboy State Politics Live. But if you missed any of that, this morning's episode of Cowboy State Politics or the morning show today on Cowboy State Politics, David covers all manner of DC shenanigans still going on, especially the blatant, ignorant, and hateful racism of your president, Joe Biden. And David has the sound clips. So make sure you're tuning in and catching up with any of that content you may have missed here on the Independence Network. And for me, on Just Blame Joey Live today, Jailbird Joey, Wyoming's most accurate conspiracy theorist, is swinging the bat hard from the home of liberty-minded constitutional conservatism this morning, all ramped up and ready to get you that content you crave with the Jailbird Joey biological mailbag. Yep, another day, all mail, all morning. We got a lot of great feedback about having an all-listener question and response episode again, so we're going to do that and be looking into doing that maybe once a week, where it's just your questions, your submissions, comments, concerns, complaints, requests, whatever it is, you send it, we'll do it, and we'll probably start doing that on Tuesdays. And then we'll buffer out the bottom of the episode with another visit to Where the Hell Did That Come From? Finding the foundation of your favorite figurative phrases. So we're going to get to all that today while we enjoy some springtime sunshine and a little bit of grease as we roll on off to Rydell High here on Just Blame Joey Live, your safe place to be dangerous.
Shape up, 'cause I need a man.
old John Travolta and Olivia Newton-John. Going to be hearing lots of that today because it is Grease Day today here on Just Blame Joey Live. Just got me a fresh cup of that Jailbird Joey Java because it's dark, it's bitter, it's bold, and always has a full head of steam on it, just like your favorite internet radio host and grandiloquently obtuse podcaster, Jailbird Joey. Hope you're enjoying your cup of coffee this morning and you got that comfy seat because we're going to jump all the way into the Jailbird Joey biological mailbag. Had submissions piling up, and looks like we're going to be able to get to quite a few of those today, so let's do it without any further delay. Oh, let's see. Jailbird Joey, did Rod Miller really say that Chuck Gray has sex with sheep in one of his columns? I can't believe it if he did and they actually printed it, but I keep hearing about it and can't seem to find where he said that. From Jack and Darla over in Lovell, we've had a few submissions from them. Hello, Jack and Darla. Well, as far as they printing it, remember Cowboy State Daily, the cow pie, as it were, they are not a print publication. They are purely digital, which is okay. So are we. little difference in the content between the two. But so you wouldn't find it in print. I don't think they hit any newspapers. I don't believe any of the printed rags in the state pick up their stuff. They do share it online. And let's see. There is a column. Yeah, from Rod Miller. Here it is. So what you want to do is look for a Rod Miller op-ed called Bride of Chucky or Advice to the Lovelorn from the Old Campfire. And let me read you what Rod said. I'm not going to say, I don't know what your question is. This is what he said, and I take it as pretty provocative even for Rod Miller. But in his op-ed, Jack and Darla, he writes, Rod Miller writes, quote, he overturned the KC kid in wonder and said that little feller who was here the other night, our Secretary of State, is he really running for governor? Joe the Wrangler nodded his Stetson in the affirmative and said, yep, but it'll be a tough go for him. He's single. He ain't got no wife. Why in the hell does that matter? Queried the kid. Think about it, Joe retorted. If a candidate for governor's flying solo, voters will think he's just a half bubble off. Why vote for someone who can't get a gal? He'd probably screw up every other job he has, too. Cookie grumbled, don't say gal, that's sexist. Use partner instead. Hey, offered the kid, if a partner is all it takes, my cousin raised sheep out on the desert. We could go snag one for him. Yeah, that's the first iteration of that. Stop right there, admonished Cookie. I ain't gonna live in a state that has a governor and a first sheep. The circle of trail-wise cowboys scratched their noggins for a few minutes, then came to a consensus, okay, it's got to be a woman. Let's help him find one. So that is what everyone's been referring to. I get it. Rod Miller lives in a land of fantasy where he believes not only is he relevant, but he's clever. And, you know, some of his stuff, if you take it as pure fiction, okay. I mean, he doesn't rise to the level of his fellow redcoats like CJ Box, but, you know, Wyoming fiction writer. He just thinks that it means something, and he loves to throw in these little barbs and jabs and insinuate things and then not take any responsibility for them. So in my opinion, Jack and Darla, he definitely did insinuate that statement you made about the sheep. He made the statement. But it's interesting that this farmland fiction from old Reefer Rob comes right on the heels of another article from the Cowpie titled, quote, so you want to be Wyoming governor. It helps to be male and married with kids. And in that article, it states, Cowboy State Daily analysis of Wyoming's 33 governors shows some interesting commonalities among the state's highest office holders, including they are almost always male, married, and have kids, and knowing how to ride horse is helpful too. If you read through that article, it's pretty much a preemptive attack on any Secretary of State who has become governor, which has only happened a handful of times and only once by election, but it shows that they are going to go through historical archives and say, well, this is the way it's always happened. You're hearing this a lot. This is the way it's always been done in Wyoming. So if this guy wants to be governor, he better get up and do it the Wyoming way, get himself a wife and pretend to be all these things. But what the interesting thing is, they went immediately to Secretary of State's office and the history of that. They didn't look at anything else. They didn't look at former treasurers who became governor, like Mark Gordon, former, attorney generals that have become governor, former legislators have become. This is a focus. And the reason the focus is there is because they have a legitimate concern about the reality and Chuck Gray's popularity among a wide swath of Wyoming voters when it comes to the future election. They know right now that it's not an election year for governor anyway, and that Chuck Gray hasn't even stated that he wants or will be running in 2026. And that's how long we have to wait for the next gubernatorial election. That's the problem a lot of people have with what Governor Gordon's doing right now. We have zero recourse. The only recourse we had died with the vote for special session not going through. But the Redcoats already know that they're losing everything. And we're watching that death rattle of the establishment that I continue to mention. And as our good friend Ken Pendergraft is fond of saying, the flak is always thickest when you're directly over the target. That's one of the reasons why 2 years out from any possible campaign or election for governor that Chuck Gray may or may not be involved in, that they want to focus and start seeding that narrative of why you shouldn't vote for Chuck Gray, because the way we've always done things in Wyoming, which look at where we're at, it's worked out real well. But the bottom line is Chuck Gray scares them. Daylight scares them. Transparency scares them. Accountability scares them. And the fact that they're starting to sling their mud 2 years early can only mean that you being informed, you being principled, and you being involved scares them too, because they know the curtain's being pulled back. Their time is pretty much up, and it's all in your hands as a voter. They're not trying to tear down Chuck Gray to make Chuck Gray feel bad. They're trying to tear down Chuck Gray to put in your mind a reason where you would question voting for him without looking at his extremely conservative voting record as a legislator and any of the regulatory actions, rules, or processes he has helped facilitate to secure our elections and run the Secretary of State's office. It's just stand back a couple feet and take a look at the whole picture and you'll see it. So with all that fear and hypocrisy, the cow pie dives in with marriage shaming. You know, if you're not married, you couldn't be governor. What if they did that to a female candidate, even for the legislature? Oh, she's not married, so you shouldn't vote for her because that's not the Wyoming way. Man, they would catch so much hell. But it's okay because, you know, it's Chuck Gray. And well, we haven't defined womanhood in Wyoming yet. We had an opportunity, but we let that go. But he's a male. He should have a wife. The wife should be female. Hey, let's put that in some legislation and get it passed. But he doesn't right now, and that's all they have. So marriage shaming is a new one, but I guess that's where they want to go. And old Reefer Rod there doubles down with the fictional claims of bestiality in his little op-ed because they have nothing. They have to develop this in your mind, and they're at least smart enough to know start early, swing often, and eventually you'll get some of these people to fall in line with what you believe, which has nothing to do with principle, has nothing to do with foundational conservatism, Wyomingism, or anything. It's just, hey, we're going to talk crap until we brainwash you into believing this is a bad idea. Because they got nothing of substance, nothing of principle. And it's just their fear and hypocritical name-calling, innuendo, and insinuation while they sit there at the same time demanding civility and decorum from the rest of us. But in the end, it's okay. Rod, even old Ronald Reagan had a long-held political deficiency at one point in his life that was difficult to get over, but he managed to do it.
Mr. President, in talking about the continuing recession tonight, you have blamed mistakes of the past, and you have blamed the Congress. Does any of the blame belong to you?
Yes, because for many years I was a Democrat.
Well, there you go, Ronald Reagan, admitting his mistakes from the past, doing better in the future. Rod, you could definitely take a lesson there. Just wonder when you're going to get up and give away your deficiency there, Mr. Reefer Rod. But yeah, to answer your question out there in Lovell, Jack and Darla, he said what he said. You take it the way you want. I think that it should be an inspiration to get involved and do something. Not necessarily they swing low, we swing lower. But yeah, accountability and making sure people know, okay, the reason why they're looking at all of this minute peripheral stuff is because they have nothing legitimate to stand on in complaining about Chuck Gray's action that also equates being a conservative Republican on their side with their complaint. Almost everything you could complain about with Chuck Gray only proves that you're a Democrat that can't spell and try to pretend to be a Republican for the purposes of election. So thanks for that question. We're going to jump back into a little bit of grease here this morning. And when we get back, we'll have another question from the Jailbird Joey Biological Mailbag. Little bit of hand jive from the soundtrack to the movie Grease, doing that one for Anthony Hudson out there in Rawlins today. Going to be doing Grease for the rest of the hour as we dig through the Jailbird Joey biological mailbag. Moving on to our next submission for today. Jailbird Joey, I got a question for you. The senator from my district has blocked me on Facebook on his official senator's page. He did this back in the last election cycle, but would come out and comment on my page from his personal account. We're not friends on Facebook. I know the Supreme Court just decided something on this, and I believe in my situation, he is violating the Supreme Court's decision. I did send him an email addressing this a couple weeks ago, and he still has me blocked. I've considered making a complaint to the ACLU and realize the Legislative Ethics Committee probably isn't going to address this. If you were in my shoes, what course of action would you take? As I've been trying to get him out of office, unfortunately, he just ended up the president of the Senate. Thank you in advance for any assistance trying to stay sunny in Sundance. Yes, you're allowed to give yourself a nickname when I read, if you don't want your real name used, on the any of your mailbag submissions here. And I guess we know who you're talking about, since he just ended up president of the Senate. But trying to stay sunny in Sundance, I haven't heard about the Supreme Court decision that you're speaking about specifically. Would love to see some formal court decision and opinion literature on that before offering my advice on what the court said versus what I think you should do. This is going to get interesting because social media is one thing, and then actually being, I don't know, recognized, if not listened to by your representative. In my mind, it's two different things. I get it. A lot of people feel differently about it. I don't think it's censorship if a public representative blocks you. I also don't think it's right on their official page to block you. But personally, I don't take issue with a legislator blocking me or other constituents on their social media because it's just evidence that they don't listen to us anyway. And the only real way to handle an elected official like that is to gather all the evidence you can of their dismissal or, you know, constituent communication, shutdown, blocking, censoring, find another good candidate and beat them in the next election. Why try to fix a problem through the courts or committees or legislative hearings or any of that stuff when in the end, all you're going to end up with is the same deficient legislature who's basically only gotten a slap on the wrist and then was forced to unblock you, but still won't listen to you or take you seriously. What we need to do is flip the butts in the seats. Bring the conversation to the higher level based on actions that are provable and voting records. And if they don't deserve to be there, accommodate their exodus. I know it's difficult, especially in the Senate, because they run every 4 years and sometimes you're a little stuck. But we knew here at the Independence Network that Nancy Case and Ogden Driscoll, old Augie, aren't going to be up for re-election this year. But that doesn't mean we didn't continue to expose all of their hypocrisy and their lies and their deviousness. It needs to stay fresh in the minds of the people. And I have a couple rules on that. Always point fingers, name names, and bring quantifiable evidence. Don't argue emotionally. Don't hide behind the niceness of not saying who it is. If you have a problem and you want it addressed, hey, point the finger, name the name, bring some evidence, and realize you may have to wait 2 to 4 years before an election comes up for you to legitimately address your problem. Because again, I'm a firm believer they can change all the rules they want in the legislature. They can put up a law, whether it'll get, I don't know, prosecuted or not, or enforced or not. That's all outside of the fact that you're still left with the same jackalope who's not doing their job and listening to or representing their constituency. So flip the butts in the seats. They don't deserve to be there. If you can't, then keep doing exactly what you're doing. Bombard them with emails, phone calls, text messages, Facebook. Get your friends to do it. You cannot be the only warrior out there fighting for your cause. But when you do fight for your cause, remember, you got to keep yourself legitimate. So at least when stuff like this happens, nobody's going, well, you used this language here, and so I can see why he wouldn't want that on the Facebook page. So trying to stay sunny in Sundance, some of this stuff can't be fixed right away. Otherwise, we'd be dealing with our governor. But I definitely hear you, and it's a process. Right now is a perfect time. Hopefully, you've got some other seats that are up for re-election. You're looking at good candidates. You've spent some time developing them, and now you're working on the voter base. Say, hey, this is why this is important. Anybody that supports this other candidate, Ogden Driscoll, your senator, anybody that supports him or his actions also supports the purposeful dismissal or ignoring of constituents. And yeah, you can hold them accountable for they are the company they keep. So sorry, there's no immediate answer there. I don't know if going through the ACLU, I wouldn't listen to anything the ACLU had to say. I was like, oh, great, put it in court. And normally the ACLU, if they think they have a case, they will put it in court. But you brought up the Supreme Court and the ACLU, and that's one of the reasons they like the system set up the way they like the system set up. These elitists and the establishment Republicans that are getting beat out, they love the fact that the system is so difficult, frustrating, and expensive to utilize that they know most of us will never go that route. But we always have the ballot box. Unfortunately, we don't have it every 2 years for every candidate. So thanks for that submission there. Going to jump back into our Grease soundtrack for today. And when we get back, I think we'll do the where the hell did that come from? Finding the foundations of our favorite figurative phrases before we get back to the biological mailbag right here on the Independence Network.
Change, 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 change
We Go Together. Yep. Another great song from the soundtrack of Grease. And We Do Go Together. Thanks for being here today and listening to the show. As usual, Jailbird Joey in the driver's seat and taking you through the Jailbird Joey biological mailbag. We're going to take a little break from that right now. Get into our Where the Hell Did That Come From? Finding the foundations of our favorite figurative phrases. Of course, you can send me all of your suggestions for other bits that we do. I don't think that means what you think that means. The misused words, wrong lyrics, all that stuff. You can send me, hey, where does this phrase come from? What's the history of it? I'll throw that one up for you. And we got a couple other ones. If you keep listening to the show, you'll pick up on what we're doing here. And you can definitely get involved by sending an email to joey@justblamejoey.com. And I'll take that submission and get it on the air as soon as humanly possible. But for today, the figurative phrases we're looking at. Oh, here we go. One for the road. The meaning of the phrase one for the road is to have a final drink before leaving a place. Kind of sounds pretty self-explanatory there. But the origin of the phrase is that during the Middle Ages, the condemned ones who were being sent to their death were often taken through what today is known as Oxford Street to their execution site. During this final trip, the cart would stop and they would be allowed to have one final drink before their execution. When properly used in a sentence, we are very fortunate here in Wyoming that the historical reference to impending death related to the term one for the road has not resulted in any actual deaths. Whenever Johnson County Commissioner and Wyoming County Commissioner Association President Bill Novotny has had one for the road. And that's going to do it for Where the Hell Did That Come From? Finding the foundation of our favorite figurative phrases. And if you're driving on I-90 or I-25 between Buffalo and Sheridan, keep an eye out for oncoming traffic in your lane. Wrong way Bill may have had one for the road again. Yeah, interesting note there. Most quote-unquote friends of Bill that I know drink way less than Wrong Way Bill Novotny and his friends of Bill here in Wyoming. Kind of interesting, huh?
Bad boys, what you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you? Bad boys, what you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you?
Cops is filled live from the front seat of Bill Novotny's car here in Sheridan, Wyoming. Always love to have fun with that because, again, we've never gotten a true apology, much like the wolf whisperer out there in Daniel, Wyoming. It was a mistake. I made a mistake. No, you committed a crime. You chose to do that. We would like a real apology, Bill. And until we get one, I'm going to continue to play the bad boy song for Wrong Way, Bill Novotny. Anyway, let's see. Oh, yeah, I'm going to have to go through this one. We got another note from Les that I'm going to have to check and make sure that it is applicable. So let's get back into the music for a moment here while I review what Les has to say. And we'll get into that biological mailbag here in just a moment.
Well, this car is automatic. It's systematic. It's hydromatic. Why, it's greased lightning.
Greased lightning.
Supreme,
it's a cream,
a grease
lightning. such a burn. For his
a little more John Travolta from Grease with Grease Lightning, one of my favorite songs from that. Jeff Conway was in there as Kid Nicky. Got a inside joke around my family. I got Jeff Conway and Tim Conway confused once. So when Jeff Conway went to rehab, I was telling my mom about it. I swore for about 20 minutes, Tim Conway, dwarf does golf, was in rehab, and she just had this look on her face. She couldn't believe it. And then I finally realized. And that was about, that was 2007. So yeah, quite a while ago. Still haven't stopped laughing about that one yet. Anyway, took a look at what Les had to say. Didn't open the email before I had moved over, and it was actually a pretty short one. So I think we're good to go here with our note from the favorite liberal freeloading mama's basement dweller of the show, Les. Oh, ready for this one. Les writes, Jackass. Albert Summers and the Wolf Guy heard your statement, and of course you would blame Albert for this guy's action, even though he wasn't involved directly. You Trumpists are all the same. Well, if you listen to the morning show, David Iverson and myself did get into the wolf issue, and yeah, Albert Summers came up because, well, he opened his mouth to the press and said what he said. We just read his quotes and said, that's interesting. But Les, it sounds like you're bathing in a little hypocrisy there with the way you end your rant, because you Trumpists are all the same. Wow. That's a kind of a poorly formed complaint there. If it has any merit at all, then how are the actions of Trump my fault? You're saying what the guy in Daniel, Wyoming did to that wolf isn't Albert Summers' fault, which also I didn't say it was Albert Summers' fault, but I will now. I mean, I'll put a little onus on what Albert did say. But how do you make that statement and then blame me for anything Trump has done? If you've ever seen a quote from me in the news stating that Donald Trump is a great guy and that I've known him my whole life or his whole life, and you know he's just made a few mistakes, I'd love to see it. Because I don't think that exists out there. I don't think you've seen that. Because I've always been very clear and honest about my position with Trump as a person and Trump as a president. And accountability along with disagreement has always been part of my well-established and documented stance on President Trump or Donald Trump. Same guy, but you know, they had two different roles, two different things. And I don't separate them necessarily, but my expectations of a private citizen versus my expectations of a president are different. And for the things he did as president, I stood on principle, and I've called Donald Trump out for many of things. I've never dismissed some of his bad choices and policies, and I've never called them just mistakes. They were choices. They were actions he chose to take and develop policies on sometimes. So the other thing is, I don't identify my personality or my principles based on who I vote for. Now, I vote for individuals based on my principles, and sometimes, unfortunately, it does come down to the lesser of two evils. But I'll take you all the way back to 2016 when we had 17, 18 candidates in the Republican primary, and the only real president I saw on that stage was Ben Carson. But America's not mature enough to benefit from a Ben Carson presidency. And the only individual I saw on that stage who could drag America kicking and screaming through the growing pains it had to go through to maybe one day benefit from a Ben Carson presidency? Donald Trump. Why? Probably because he's at least half as horrible as you think he is, Les, but he's going to get certain jobs done. So I don't need a hero. I don't need an idol. I don't need a Valentine. I need a president who's going to take action, and take action based on the Constitution, liberty. And I know that's opening up a whole nother can of worms, but if you look at the other options, Hillary Clinton, I was supposed to vote for Hillary Clinton. Come on, get over it. Okay. So what I said, what you can't prove and what you're trying to attach me to is nothing compared to what Albert Summers did, because he actually said it. Albert Summers went into a interview with the media trying to minimize the horrific actions of his admitted lifelong friend and defends his quote unquote, this is what Albert said, wrong, inhumane, and dumb, bad judgment, but calls it a mistake, like it can just be dismissed or erased because Redcoat Speaker Summers thinks he's a great guy. You know, many people in Chicago thought John Wayne Gacy was a great guy, and he got away with a lot because the lack of investigation, accountability, interest in what he was actually doing, all based on the impression and other people stating that being a great guy means something in, you know, reality. We all know who John Wayne Gacy is now, but he got away with a lot because of that whole good old boy. He's a great guy. I've known him my whole life, but here he is doing his thing and shoving the bodies down in the crawl space. So I'm not going to give Albert Summers a whole lot of cover there. You, yeah, you choose who you associate with and who you defend. He's got another candidate who's running for his seat, Kat Olber-Kluckert-Meckertecht. I don't know how to say her last name. David talked about her a lot this morning, but yeah, when you look at the actions of these people or their writings, in Kat's case, you can tell they're complete turds, at least liars with no integrity. And that's not on me. I didn't make that statement to the press. Albert Summers did. You want to defend this guy as a good guy? Then your definition of good guy includes somebody who does stuff like this, and that is on you, Albert. Anyway, Les, if Albert Summers thinks that wolf-torturing psychopaths are great guys, then I'm sure he'd think you're just the cat's pajamas yourself. And, you know, that's really saying something about you, Les, not me, or President Donald Trump. So I always appreciate that interaction. And we covered this in depth this morning on the morning show, like I said, which is, I'm sure, where Les heard it. So again, thank you for being a faithful listener, Les. Always listening to every ounce of content we're putting out here. And it does inspire your tantrums. But of course, if you missed the morning show, we're going to replay that at 3 p.m. here on the Independence Network. And it will be available tomorrow morning at 5 a.m. on the Just Blame Joey podcast. So stay tuned in to the Independence Network. Give it a listen and feel free to let me know what you think on this issue. And I'm sure you'll do a little bit better than Les did with it in his submission. But again, Les, you know, if you need a lifeline sometimes, you know, all you got to do.
The only way he can be brought back is by calling his name three times.
Booty juice.
That's right. When you need a little help, just call on the booty juice. Thanks for the submission, Les. I'm sure we'll talk to you a couple times more throughout the week. And yeah, I'm going to check out and see if we can get to the bottom of the mailbag here before the hour is up. Let's go to a little Fats Domino from the Grease soundtrack while I'm doing that.
I'm walking, hear the need, I'm talking. When you and me, I'm hoping that you come back to me. I'm lonely as I can be. I'm waiting for your company. I'm hoping what you gonna do in a well run dry? You gonna run away and hide? I'm gonna run right by your side. For you, pretty baby, I even die. I'm walking. Yes, indeed, I'm talking. But you and me, I'm hoping that you come back to me.
Fats Domino for you there. You know, a lot of people don't know that's in the, well, it's not in the official soundtrack. When you buy the album, you're not going to get that song, but when they're pulling into the drive-thru, that is the song that is playing on the radio in the movie Grease. So yeah, Anthony out there in Rollins, I hope you enjoy your Grease playing soundtrack all day today. And again, if you have any suggestions, you want a specific set of music, any comments, concerns, questions, complaints, critiques, let me know. Send it to Joey at justblamejoey.com and I'll be happy to take care of you. doing the listener thing here, the listener response, the listener replies, the listener request, really something I enjoy doing. And hopefully we'll be getting plenty more and getting down to the bottom of the Jailbird Joey biological mailbag here on Just Blame Joey Live. Let's see what we got from Right is Right 22. Clever name. Again, yeah, any of your submissions, you don't want me to say your name on the air, that's fine. I won't. I'll take full responsibility if somebody says, oh, you've got anonymous mailers in your radio show there. Nope. I take full responsibility. Otherwise, I wouldn't read it on the air. So don't blame my listeners. I'm the one putting it out there. Don't like it? Don't listen. I also don't care. Thank you for sharing your feelings. I wish you the best of luck with those. Enjoy Just Blaming Joey. Anyway, Right is Right 22 sends Jailbird Joey, I heard that the Montana GOP invited Governor Gordon to speak at their state convention, and they have now just disinvited him. Do you know anything about this? Well, Right is Right 22. There's rumor mill. We don't like to get into that too much. I have heard talk. There are sources that have told the Just Blame Joey investigative staff that in a meeting on Friday morning this past week with Montana GOP officials, the issue of Governor Gordon speaking at their convention was discussed, and there was some dissension on what the original plan was. However, no primary source confirmation has been made by the Independence Network or Just Blame Joey investigative staff at this time. So I'm just going to leave it out there as, it's a possibility. There's a difference when another state decides not to have your governor. That's a pretty big deal. When it comes to our state convention, the elected officials are always invited. I don't know if they're formally invited, but they're always welcome. The governor and the DC delegation tends to host an event on Friday night. I don't know exactly where that's at right now. Last I heard, Harriet Hageman was the only one that has responded and will probably be fielding most of that herself. But I don't know that it would be proper, even with all of the garbage going on with our Go Green Governor Gordon, to disinvite him. And I know there's people out there that say, oh, no, you can't do it. And you're allowed to have that opinion. And I understand why. But it, from my position, it's a little different. Disinviting him to our own state convention versus another state saying, no, we don't want you anymore. And it's the difference in, not because he's our governor, but a lot of people are comparing it to the, he's just like Cheney. Well, we handled the Liz Cheney situation a little differently. We passed state level Republican Party resolutions, not recognizing Liz Cheney as a Republican anymore before that convention came up. It's also not an election year for the governor. So the reason that's important was Liz Cheney was still invited to the convention after we said, we don't recognize you as a Republican, because she was a candidate on the Republican ticket. And I get that's confusing, but the Republican Party does not have the authority to say, no, you can't be a candidate. You can't be a Republican. Some people think that's a good thing. Some people think that's a bad thing. But in the, you know, dealing with what the law says and what the candidate roster looked like, Liz Cheney was still invited, but she was invited to a room full of people that had voted to not recognize her as a Republican, and she didn't show up. None of that's been done with Governor Gordon. The Park County Republican Party has censured Governor Gordon for his actions over the last year and a half. The Go Green, carbon negative, all the vetoes, some of the other statements and actions he's taken. But that's a county level thing. It hasn't come up to the state party level yet. I've heard that the Park County Republican Party doesn't necessarily intend to submit that to the state convention. It would have had to have come through their county convention. So I don't know where that's going to go, but it hasn't happened yet. The interesting thing is, in the article talking about that censure, Little Lion Leo Wolfson pointed out that Park County was the first county to censure Liz Cheney. And once again, you got it wrong, Leo. That was Carbon County. I happen to know pretty intimately the details and the timelines of all that. Now, in the second round, when the Wyoming Republican Party wrote the resolution to no longer recognize Liz Cheney as a Republican, that was based on a letter from the Park County Republican Men's Club. But again, Park County, very conservative, very active, leading the way in a lot of things. But to be historically accurate, it was Carbon County that did both of those first. So credit where credit's due, and none of that credit's going to Leo Wolfson. Just so you know, calls are out there from the Just Blame Joey investigative staff to the Montana and Wyoming GOP on the Governor Gordon presence invitation issue. And I'll update when the investigative staff has some facts and data confirmed, not just stories and hearsay. So right is right, 22. Yeah, I've heard it. I don't know. I don't care if Governor Gordon shows up at the convention or not. We've changed the order of business where we're not going to sit around all morning listening to do-nothing legislators and executives of the state government bloviate all morning. We get right to business. And if they want to talk to us, they'll have to talk to us in our free time, which is normally after any of the daytime events at the convention. So we'll keep an eye on that for you out there. Looking like we got about, just got a fresh run in here. When are you going to play Summer Nights? Well, okay. Thank you for that. Yeah, I'll play it right now. And when we come back, we'll see where we're at and head you on into the rest of your day here on the Independence Network. Demand. It wasn't even a request. Just popped into the Jailbird Joey biological mailbag. When are you going to play Summer Nights? There you go. A little Summer Nights for you. Sometimes I wonder if y'all would rather hear more music, but hey, this is a talk show, so we're going to talk as much as I can bear without totally going off the rails. Some of these situations we get into, yeah, really grinds my gears. But we're also adjusting from that old 2-hour format where we had a lot more music. So be patient with me. We'll figure it out. Again, you can send any of those concerns, complaints, critiques, comments, questions to Joey at JustBlameJoey.com. And we'll try to iron it out. We're still, you know, we're only 6 months old here on the Independence Network. That's right. Had our 6 month birthday on Sunday. So we've come a long way, not just on the show, but across the network. We're adding new shows, new content, new personalities all over the place. We've got our morning schedule that we do every day and replay again in the afternoon. Today, you can catch the morning show again at 3 p.m. Cowboy State Politics at 4. This episode of Just Blame Joey live again at 5. And right after this, we'll have a little bit of Paul Harvey and then the Ramble Room with Ken Pendergraft and a classic episode of Wide Right Turn, one of our other new shows with Tom Kelly at 1 p.m. Tomorrow in the same time slot, we'll have another episode of The Hair Affair with Christine and then Crosstalk Live coming at you. Friday, we're going to be playing brand new episodes of Crosstalk Live and Wide Right Turn, so make sure you're tuning in for that. And don't forget to check out the website, www.independencenetwork.us, where you can find links to all of our great shows, The Ramble Room with Ken Pendergraft, Cowboy State Politics with David Iverson, and of course, Just Blame Joey, and our articles section. That's going to start heating up here real soon, especially as the election season gets going. We've got submissions coming in all over the place, and we're looking for letters to the editor. So if you think of one, write it up, send it, and we'll get it on the website. But until we see that, I guess we'll just have to wait until tomorrow. See you again here on Just Blame Joey Live.
And it's time to wrap it up here. I hope you enjoyed this episode of Just Blame Joey. And if you did, make sure to go to any of your social media accounts, look up Just Blame Joey, like and subscribe, and make sure to add the show to your automatic download feed on any of your podcasting apps. That way you'll be sure to never miss a moment of the cantankerous commentary and political entertainment. And if you didn't enjoy the show, you can always subscribe without liking. That way you can justify all your illegitimate anger and frustration while you just blame Joey.
Just Blame Joey Live is a production of the Independence Network. Copyright 2024. All rights reserved. Have a greasy day out there, people.